Welcome to the King James Bible Seminary. My name is Myron Boffman. I'll be your instructor today in the Word of the Lord. Today we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 4, which means we are in the Writings of Paul class. The title of today's lesson is simply, Thinking on These Things. And we'll find out what things those would be here in a minute. So if you'd be so kind as to turn to Philippians chapter 4, I'll mention the fact that this week's memory verse is found in verse 13 of the same chapter. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Okay. This will be the last chapter of this letter of Paul to the Philippians. Just a word of encouragement as we go along. The Apostle Paul brings his letter to the Philippians to a close with exhortations or encouragement, as well as irreplaceable advice to all Christians. In it all, whatever we encounter in life, we are to be, quote, careful for nothing, end quote. That is, we are not to worry, but lay it all at the feet of our Lord in prayer. That's such good advice. This will have a net effect on all that we do and think. It is most positive in its outcome as we learn to trust God in all things. This all ties into one of the major themes of this letter of Paul's, which is having the mind of Christ. We suffer loss when we fail to do this each moment of the day. Now, let's get into a few details of this last chapter that Paul has laid out for us. Let's take a look at verses 1 through 3. Appreciate everybody here and their attendance. And y'all, and your attention. May the Lord bless us as we read and study His Word. Verses 1 through 3, please. Quote, Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudeus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. End quote. One of the questions in these verses is, quote, Who is this true yoke fellow that Paul asks for help from? There are some who think that this is actually a name of someone, but it appears to make more sense to have it refer back to the group of brethren, that is Paul's joy and crown, found in the first verse. He is addressing them, and there is no need to widen the scope of the address to anyone else. If you remember from a previous lesson, the church at Philippi was started back in Acts chapter 16 with a simple meeting beside a river of Paul and a group of women, and also met in a woman named Lydia's house. Yodius and Syneke were perhaps of the group of women who first met along the river with Paul. He seems to have direct knowledge of them and their work in the gospel. But now, there seems to have come up some sort of disagreement between them, as the words in verse 2 so testify, which says, quote, I beseech Eudeus and beseech Syneke that they be of the same mind in the Lord, end quote. There is no definite reference to what the disagreement was about, so we probably need to go no further in that inquiry. There appears to be some debate as to who these women are, and theories abound, of course, and some even suppose one of them was the wife of the Apostle Paul. We find no real scriptural support for that idea. There's nothing wrong, let's go on here, with the idea of asking for help in regard to problems among fellow workers, so don't be afraid to ask for help, but ask it from people who are able to give help and not add to the problem. The mind of Christ needs to be embraced to fully be effectively honoring unto the Lord. Paul does go on and refer to his other fellow workers as having their names in the book of life. We'll get into that here in just a minute. Only one name is immediately mentioned, and that of Clement as being a fellow worker. If you will notice, this Clement is given no title beyond that. The Roman Catholic Church has claimed that Clement was one of the first popes. They've made that claim for centuries. However, Clement himself in his letter to the Corinthian church testifies that the churches of Rome during his time were overseen by elders, plural, and bishops, plural, and not one man. A pope is not mentioned as even existing then during his time, nor is there mention of Peter as having ever being in Rome. For that, you are encouraged to research this topic out for yourself, to your own satisfaction. As in all these lessons, we encourage you to take these lessons as the beginning and to further your study. We don't intend to be the last word or final authority. Now, to me anyways, it seems as if false religions such as Mormonism, Roman Catholicism, and Islam tend to manufacture their own histories to justify and prop up their own agendas. Now, these lies, what I would call lies, anyways, these lies we can comfortably lay aside and rest ourselves solely on the scriptures as being trustworthy. The church history written by Eusebius, appears to be corrupted with add-ons and shouldn't be viewed as trustworthy, as a trustworthy document on this point. So there have been people who have tampered with the history that this man, this ancient historian, has written, and in a lot of places it shouldn't be considered as trustworthy. Paul also states, using positive terms, that these people, his fellow workers here, were his joy and crown. That'd be great if you would consider your fellow workers as your joy and crown. Likewise, it is as if they and their testimony of faithfulness and work were Paul's glory in the Lord. It is important to remember that what we do for the Lord in our work with other people results in joy and in rejoicing in the Lord as to what he has done, that it may be faithfully said, quote, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever," end quote. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, of course. So, our work should be positive and result in joy and not be detrimental and damaging and hateful. The saints clothed in garments of righteousness of Christ are to adorn themselves with good works of holiness here on earth, that the Lord may be honored and praised. Now, if you are thinking of entering the ministry to get rich, if you're thinking about entering the ministry or Christian service to get rich and perhaps famous, you are in the wrong business. It's not about money or position at all. Now, concerning adornment and being clothed in his righteousness, the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 3, verse 4, in the letter to the church of Sardis, says, quote, "Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy," end quote. So there's not very many good names in the church of Sardis, apparently, from what it sounds like. Interestingly, in Revelation chapter 16, verse 15, along this line, 16:15, says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame." So we are to adorn ourselves in the garments of Christ and his righteousness, and may our good works, the things we do in his name and in his strength and wisdom and power by his direction, be ornaments upon those garments. These things are usually mentioned as being in the future, but Paul in our verses here say that these people in the present tense with him were his joy and crown. Now this is very true even in our present victories in Christ, and we should not regard victories as only being in the future or the future cause of our rejoicing. It may also be noted that our good works are manifestations of our salvation, but not its foundation. Interesting verse along that line would be 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. We'll leave that up to you to look that up, please. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. All right, let's continue on with our lesson here. Verses 4 through 7 will be the next learning block. Quote, "Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." End quote. The word moderation points to self-control. Christians are not to be easily moved to harshness or rashness. And this fact is to be obvious to everyone that we deal with. Should not be a secret. We are reminded that the Lord is at hand, or Maranatha. That doesn't necessarily only mean that the Lord's return is imminent, but it does most definitely point to the closeness of the Lord to his people. His closeness, his presence, is the cause of our rejoicing, and knowing this, we are disposed to self-control. Quote, "Be careful for nothing," end quote, is, as we have said before, just another way of saying, don't worry about anything. To do this, we are to have prayer and supplication that is truly thankful to the one whom we are praying. The God of peace grants the peace of God to those who pray. This peace is a resting place for both our minds and our hearts. Let's look at verses 8 and 9. Quote, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." End quote. This has been referred to as the whatsoever verse, since that word is used, if I count it right, 6 times. This word is whatsoever. It's repeatedly used as a tool or instrument to point us in the direction of thought. This is not intended to be an all-inclusive list in the which Christians are to only think about, but is rather intended, as I've said, to point us in a general correct direction of thought. So Paul uses the hypothetical if here to get us to think positively. We are generally to think of virtue and of praise, all of which would include that which is pure or clean, that or whom which deserves love, and those things which are acceptable unto the Lord. Paul wanted his readers to act on what they have learned, received, heard, and seen in him as an apostle of Christ. Paul taught, and he also taught by example. Now, this is rather an exclusive thing, in that we are not to accept in the church as having any authority that which is not found in the teachings by word and deed of Christ and of his apostles. In other words, we are not to be ignorant of the New Testament, ignore its teachings, or invent our own. So, is that quite clear? Okay, so we stick with the Word of God. Verses 10 through 13. Anybody still with me there? Right. Anybody lost? Verses 10 through 13. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. That is wonderful. Wonderful words. That now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful. But ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, wherewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound, everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. End quote. Paul's contentment was based on his trust in the sufficiency of God, as he so testifies in Acts chapter 20, verse 33 through 36, as well as in other places. Quote, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Very important words. This trust would be foundational to Paul's peace of mind, as well as it should be to our own. Now, because of the sufficiency of God, not only do we have peace, but Paul goes on to say that we can do all things in Christ which strengtheneth us. As he also says similarly in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Quote, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, end quote. So we are to thank Christ that we are able to bear all things, and for our opportunities of service that he gives us because of his grace. Truly something to be thankful for. The Apostle Paul mentions this one more time in his closing remarks, found in verse 19. Quote, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. End quote. So we are to look for unto his sufficiency, not our own. On this we are to dwell, on these thoughts we are to dwell. The goodness, mercy, and grace of God should be the center of our daily muse, M-U-S-E. Some people are big into amusement. Goodness, mercy, and grace of God should be the center of our daily muse, our meditation, praise, and prayer. On these things spring virtue in the lives of the saints. As with Paul, these things we are to leave behind in the memories of others, for others to think about and to be influenced about and to be blessed. For that, we will close the lesson. If there's questions, we'll take those after prayer and discussion. Let's close with a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we come to Thee now, thanking Thee for sending Thy Son to die on a cross for us. We thank Thee that You loved us so much that You were willing to send Your only begotten Son. And we pray now that You will cause us to think on this grace, and that we may muse upon Your words. Pray now that You will cause us to have our minds stayed upon Thee. We thank Thee, our Heavenly Father, for not only sending Your Son, but the Holy Spirit, that He might guide and direct us, lead us, protect us. We pray also for each listener to Thy word here today, and for those who will hear the lessons, that they will be a blessing and an encouragement and point people in the right direction. We also ask that the words in error, if there were any, would be forgotten. We ask now also that You will cause us to be a positive influence to those around us, that we might be people of moderation, of virtue, respectable in our daily lives. We pray that also that You'll cause us, Lord, to be, in other words, good witnesses of Thine. We're always ready with the word. And we pray also that Thy word, as a result of prayer and missionary effort, that Thy word would be spread throughout the whole earth. We pray for the blessings of those who study Thy word, that You'll give us wisdom and understanding and a faithful heart. We ask You to increase our faith. Also, Lord, we pray that You'll be with each student. Give us all encouragement. We pray also for the lost in our families, and give us the right words. And as Paul has mentioned here, not just the words, but our example, that would be good examples. And we teach by that also. We pray also that You'll just strengthen us throughout each day this week, and cause us to be aware of the fiery darts of the devil and his wiles, his trickery. We pray for Your protection. Now, Lord, we ask that You'll spread Your word abroad, cause us to prosper in whatsoever we do for Thee, and we, Lord, ask, Lord, for the peace of Jerusalem, and bless thy church. Well, we pray now for these things in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.